you're listening to 1001 Album Club, where each episode we discuss a different album from Robert Emery's book, 1001 Albums Was Here Before You Die.
In the arena, cheetah, you're gonna be amazed when you gaze at the armor on this leader, fully clad and glad to fight a cause I won't pause. Fear is a joke, slow poke, I'm like claws that'll rip, cause your gift is merely flesh, superficial, and I wish you would give it a rest, but if you don't, I'll unsheath my Excalibur like a noble knight, so meet your challenger, a true hero, while you're a true zero, getting beat to a pulp so that you can't run for help, I heard a gulp in your throat, cause you hope.
All right, for this episode we'll be talking about Gangstar, Step in the Arena. In the room I have Rob.
Hey bud.
Hey. And on the line I have Ben.
What is up, my fellows?
And Kyle.
What is up, you puny protozoa?
Step in the Arena is the second studio album by hip-hop duo Gangstar, released on January 15th, 1991. On Chrysalis and EMI Records, the producer was DJ Premier and Guru, and the genre is East Coast hip-hop. All right, I'm going to read from the book. Andy Pickering, one of hip-hop's most enduring duos, arch-lyricist, guru, and production wizard DJ Premier, failed to make an impact with 1989's debut No More Mr. Nice Guy, now regarding Step in the Arena as their debut proper. So in today's disposable hip-hop culture, how have they managed such longevity? The key to Gangstar is they never compromise their purest vision of what hip-hop should be. Rather than chase untold riches and girls, Gangstar reverts to hip-hop's raw essence. Two turntables and a microphone. Guru is an undisputed master of the latter, adept at spitting rhymes and proclaim his own brilliance, but equally capable of painting rich, high drama stories of the street. Delivered in his distinct monotone, his hypnotic delivery is matched by DJ Premier, who is one of the first hip-hop producers to bring jazz to his sonic palette. And who's going to take the weight? Guru spits knowledge against fakers and moneymakers over a bumping Premier beat and a squalling horn sample. Just to Get a Rep outlines the pitfalls of life as a hoodlum with scratch mixing samples over top of a tight hip-hop groove. It sounds raw as hell. Over the following five albums, Guru and Premier have never wavered from the Step in the Arena formula. They continue to refine their skills, also working on solo projects such as Guru's Jazzmatazz series. But they always come back to Gangstar. Luckily, we still have them to remind us that a back-to-basics approach is sometimes all hip-hop really needs. All right, what do we think of Gangstar, Step in the Arena?
It's great.
Yeah.
I think I've been sleeping on Gangstar.
I think you have.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yeah, me too.
I've never listened to Gangstar. Entirely missed Gangstar. I knew the name, and this album sounds nothing like I thought it would sound, having only known the name for the last 32 years or whatever.
Same for me.
Yeah.
I read Gangstar, and I was like, well, this is obviously like West Coast, like gangster rap. I was like, does this offer anything? And yeah, this week I was like, oh wow, okay.
Yeah, Sheila clued me into these guys like 10 years ago.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
They're wonderful.
So it's you that didn't tell us, Rob.
You know, yeah. it's my bad, guys.
I kept listening to this after reading all the hype about it and all the backstories. I was like, okay, I'm gonna know one of these songs. I didn't know any of these fucking songs, and I feel like an asshole because this is an incredible album.
Yeah. And not so secretly, this is not even like their third best album.
Yeah.
Like they just got better and better and better and better. Like it's, I understand why this one is in the book, but to not have the rest of their stuff, like, Moment of Truth by itself is one of the greatest hip hop albums of all time. Like it's weird that we don't get it, but that's cool.
I mean, they like the first in this book.
They like the second in this book.
Yeah. I guess, yes. Yeah. That's the
Spike Lee liked the first.
Yeah.
Which is why he had him like, hey, lean into this jazz thing, guys.
I loved that. I loved hearing about him ask them to do a version of Jazz Thing for soundtrack to his film Mo' Better Blues.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, and that's what got them signed to a major label, because the label thought
that's what
everything was going to be exactly like this jazz thing. that they did. And they're like, oh, take a step back. No.
Pump the brakes.
Yeah. But yeah, I love the two turntables microphone. And it's
laid back, too.
It's all that. And the scratching on this, wow.
It's fucking wicked.
Yeah. Really, really good. You can tell it's almost like live a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. Or you can imagine, you know, mm-hmm. them performing mm-hmm. it live. It's not all the overdubs. It's not like extra vocals. It's just right there.
Minimalist. And yeah, because it's so sparse, like it lets everything shine, you know?
Yeah.
What's the effect in track 5, Who's Gonna Take the Weight? It sounds like the old like James Brown saxophone sample, but he's like bending it into its own melody, which I think is like the melody of the Flying Monkeys from Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I would imagine it's still the same sample, the horn sample, like the from James Brown horn sample, but he's probably just speeding up the record, right? Yeah. That's what I was imagining. He's so good. It sounds awesome. Yeah.
Is it the vocal sample you're asking about?
No, I think it's like a saxophone squeal.
Okay.
Like, is it Public Enemy that uses that all the time?
Yes.
Like, yeah. But as many times as I'd heard that sax squeal effectively used, I'd never heard it like manipulated into its own melody. And I thought that part of that song was really cool. And then the very next song on Beyond Comprehension with that Cripple Creek, up on Cripple Creek.
Oh, yeah. So fun.
It's sick, dude. I loved it.
Yeah. It's great.
They knew where to grab Ben, and it was sampling the band.
I didn't even put that together with Who's Gonna Take the Weight, you know, like the weight from the band. Mm-hmm. And, that's awesome. I had a little bit of hard time at first getting into his flow.
Yeah.
Because it's a very monotone. I had the same thing when I listened to De La Soul. I'm just used to the Public Enemy, like Chuck D, like here it is.
And
his flow is like reserved at times and monotone. And so I kept finding myself being like, I don't quite understand what he's doing. Like it almost sounds like he's unprepared sometimes, but then the more you listen to it, you kind of like get into and say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I kind of get what he's going for, what he's doing.
It's kind of cold and surgical. It's just kind of.
And I don't need someone to be aggressive like Ice Cube. I don't need like this bombast or anything like that. I love the De La Soul stuff and they kind of had a similar vibe. So, but I just, it took me a minute. It took me a minute to get there.
I get it. I don't know. I'm a little more familiar, so
yeah.
I didn't have that entry point. It's hypnotic.
Yeah.
The beats were always there. Yeah. I was always like on board for all the samples. Although I do feel like it starts off like a little sluggish. It gets better as it goes on. By the time it got to 5, Who's Gonna Take the Weight, and then Beyond Comprehension, and then Check the Technique, I was like, this is...
For sure, yeah.
It, like, came into its own. Step in the Arena, fine. You know, like, everything's good. It's just that it got... I realized it was getting better as it was kind of going on. Anybody else feel like that?
No, I'd agree with that. Yeah, that's... Like you mentioned, that's kind of a three-hit combo. It's kind of putting all the cards on the table, you know? It's like...
I also felt too like the earlier songs were more, what would you say, like braggadocious, talking about how good of a rapper and things like that.
Yeah.
And then he gets a little more introspective as it goes through the
Absolutely.
Album.
I noticed that too.
Yeah. I don't mind that. No. He can brag. He's good.
You gotta.
Yeah. Love. Once you get to Lovesick, you're like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really real. Surprised by Lovesick. I was not expecting that from Gangstar. Now we're just
I'm just enjoying this.
Now we're just chilling.
Just yeah, now we're just
the Gangstar.
2011 interview with Hip Hop DX premiere discussed how the inclusion of shorter tracks was informed in part by his remarkable broad musical palette, explaining that, quote, "Well, I'm a fan more than hip hop. I listen to rock, real hardcore, I'm in the new wave punk music. I was a rebel in my family, always into the punk scene. I used to listen to a lot of the new wave stuff, the Smiths, Psychedelic Furs, the Cure, Susie and the Banshees, Dialhouse, Joy Division. I was into all that stuff, Thompson Twins, just all this crazy stuff. And sometimes they would have a song that just had one verse and then it'd fade out. So I took a lot of inspiration from that. Prince, he'd do a record call, Got a Broke Heart Again on Dirty Mind album. And then as soon as the verse is over, he'd go on a guitar collapse like he's killing stuff. And that'd be the end of the song. He was like, yo, I want to do that stuff. I took a lot of pointer from Prince, Michael Jackson, the Commodores, Earth, Wind & Fire, and their interludes. Yeah. Makes perfect sense.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I love that approach.
So Just to Get a Rep was like their first single off this record. And it's a true story. Did you guys look into that?
I did not.
No. Tell me about it.
Yeah. Guru, he bought like a brand new car and then he immediately got jumped and they stole his car. A couple days later, they see the car, so they run up on him and chase the guy, which caused the cops to jump in, and the cops started chasing them. And then the dude who stole the car gets hit by an ice cream truck and dies.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah. And there's a video that's sort of like a reenactment about it.
Yeah. I watched the video. It was interesting.
Yeah.
An ice cream truck?
An ice cream truck, man.
What is this, Twisted Metal?
Nice. The perpetrator's name was Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, the video kind of like highlights it with a gold chain that's like someone's wearing the gold chain and then you know, they get jumped, mm-hmm. and they get the gold chain, and then like it's like because they're wearing it, they get jumped, you know, like it just like cycles through.
Like planets in orbit, we ride the life cycle. Some take a rifle on the street because it seems neat. Whatever turns you on, I guess that's why vests are in season. I'll do my show, then I'm leaving. I'd rather be blasting dope sounds on the other side of town than be there when they close the place down. But anyway, every day there's another way.
Yeah, what song is this right now? This is
Beyond Comprehension.
Yeah.
With the Cripple Creek sample.
This is the one that really stood out to me, and I was like, what is this flow? Like, it's...
Yeah.
He's pronouncing everything, you know? And I just never... I don't think I've ever heard that before.
I don't think anybody had.
Yeah.
Reacting to a beat in a whisper and like a transistor, I sound dope when I'm crisper. Yeah, it's awesome.
Premiere would go on to become one of the most in-demand soundsmiths ever, producing countless artists. Early soundscapes seem to have been custom crafted specifically for Guru's measured baritone rhymes.
Yeah, I didn't look it up. What all did Premiere go on and produce?
Premiere is known for producing all of Gangstar's songs, as well as many of those composed by the Gangstar Foundations. Foundation notable artists he has worked with include Anderson .Paak, AZ,
ooh,
Big Daddy Kane, Big L, Black Poet, Bun B, Cannabis, Christina Aguilera, Common, D'Angelo, Dilated Peoples, DITC, Dr. Dre, Fat Joe, The Game, Ill Bill, J. Cole, Janet Jackson, Jay-Z, Joey Badass, Kanye
Jesus
West,
fucking Christ,
KRS-One, The Lady of Rage, Limp Bizkit, Lord Finesse, The Lox, Ludacris, Mac Miller, Mobb Deep, M.O.P., Mos Def, Eminem, Nas, Biggie Smalls, O.C., Papoose, Rakim, Royce da 5'9", Snoop Dogg, Exhibit, and more.
Wowie Zowie. Yeah.
There you go.
Was he responsible for Chocolate Starship? Chocolate Starship. Chocolate Starfish and the hot dog flavored water.
I guess stay tuned to find out, huh?
Yeah.
Suppose so. Yeah, that's a hell of a resume, man.
Had me Anderson .Paak. I was ready to go.
He picks out like really good samples too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not quite as like showy as some of the super sample heavy records
that
we've covered recently, but it's sparse. Sorry. I don't want to say it's sparse, but I want to say surgical again. It's just, it's really well done choices, really well produced.
Well, the thing is they're not creating these. He can do this like just with the tables, you know?
Yeah.
There's no backing track, I feel like.
He has to have a sampler or something on the side to like just keep the beat going. Can't just have. I mean, maybe you can't. I don't know. I've never tried fucking jockeying turntables. I wouldn't be very good at it. Kind of scares me. Yeah.
The sample in Check the Technique, it sounds so familiar to me that I had to look it up, and I'm not familiar with it at all. California Soul by Marlena Shaw. Maybe I've heard it sampled in other things before. I don't know. It almost sounded like a movie theme.
Yeah.
It's a cool sample. I like the song.
It's a really good history of hip-hop book called Check the Technique.
I'm cautious to put my foot in my mouth because I don't know hip-hop that well. But when I was listening to Guru's Flow, I know he came later, but someone that I'm familiar with that it reminded me of was MF Doom.
Am I
alone on that?
Yeah. No. I hear that. Yeah, I think... I mean, if I had to go back, I mean, it does seem like De La Soul early on the sort of like monotone delivery. You're talking about delivery or the whole overall?
No, delivery.
Yeah. Guru's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got all the sense bigger now.
I can't wait like 4 or 5 years from now when we're done with this and I can just listen to those other Gangstar albums.
I can't wait to be 45.
Yeah, Rob, what would you say is the best one? What should we listen to after this?
Moment of Truth is the best one, but okay. Hard to Earn or Daily Operation would be, but they're both incredible.
So Moment of
is
Truth.
Is this the only one we're getting?
98.
Yeah, 98. This is the only one we're getting, but Moment of Truth is their masterpiece.
Okay.
Do we have any insight as to why this was selected instead of the others?
Nope. Whatever Robert Demery said about someone argued for it, and he was like, okay.
Yep. I'm going to assume that one of the editors was, you know, was like, this is the one that started this.
Yeah.
I don't mind having that sort of early. I know we've lamented on it before, but I don't mind having the progenitor or whatever.
I mean, we're not even in like progenation.
I mean, you hate it
right now. Because it's just if you're telling the story, you're telling the story. If you're throwing in the not best one, because what story are you telling? If you want to watch the chronological progression, like, sure, this is where they started. This is where they ended. Oh, my God. I can't believe how much better they got. You know, but
there's a lot going on in 91.
That's an excellent point. But it's, you know, I don't know. It's great. Just not their best. And it's really good. I enjoy it quite a bit.
Did this album bring them like mainstream success?
I mean,
did it break them into a new market?
Got them signed, you know, and then they remained that.
They were on the U.S. Billboard charts. I mean, it's 121, but
yeah. What is this on Crystalis, right?
Yeah, yes. It's Crystalis, and then EMI over there.
I said Crystalis.
I know what I said.
I mean, it did well for them. How many singles? 5 singles, too.
Which songs were the singles?
Just to Get a Rap, Take a Rest, Lovesick, Step in the Arena, and Who's Gonna Take the Weight?
Oh, I didn't catch that Lovesick was a single. That's fantastic.
Yeah, number three. I'm actually kind of surprised Check the Technique was... not a single.
I have
a lot of notes on that track. I'm surprised too.
Lovesick is just cool, laid back. I mean, we're going to talk about MC Solar in a little bit, who worked with Guru, and I was feeling similar vibes on for that. That's sort of, it's like jazzy, has a little bit of jazz going on. I'm here for it.
It's a little more, I don't know, it's not as aggressive, I suppose, as some of the other stuff. I mean, especially with MC Solar.
In the usage of jazz and hip hop, both albums came out in 91. But do you guys know? I don't know which came out first, Step in the Arena or Tribe's People's Instinctive Travels.
So this was in January 15th, 1991.
So probably this one.
Yeah.
Why are you asking?
In his read-up, he was talking about how you didn't say the first, but one of the first to use the to use jazz jazz records in the making of beats.
Yeah, there's such a melting pot going on with this stuff. Straight on a plate down your throat. So digest as I suggest. We take a good look at who's who while I'm reading from my good book. And let's dig into every nook and every cranny. Set your mind free as I slam these thoughts. And just like a Jenny goes bow, you're gonna see what I'm saying now. You can't be sleeping.
I really did like Who's Gonna Take the Weight. I mean, we're talking about Public Enemy in terms of like Fear of a Black Planet, things like that. Like very Public Enemy have like a militant, like aggressive style to talk about, you know, black culture and those types of things. And I thought it was really cool to have Who's Gonna Take the Weight as a very insightful, but very like thoroughly thought out.
Yeah.
Like composition that talks about it, but is different from Public Enemy. I don't know how I'm not getting this across very well, but
no, you're on something.
They're talking about the same thing, but they have very different approaches and styles, which I'm here for.
Yeah, this is also one of the records where people start getting litigious about the sampling, specifically with Here Today, Gone Tomorrow.
What's the sample on that one?
Well, let me just, I've got a quote from DJ Premier. He said, "Here today, gone tomorrow. I got sued for that. I settled. I settled a lot of sample clearance lawsuits that came my way. I just went ahead and settled. No biggie. Like, yeah, I'm guilty. Yeah, I used it. I'm not going to fight it. Go ahead. Here, take your money. We weren't doing it out of disrespect. We were paying homage to these people that don't even make these sounds no more. You pick up any of those guys' albums, they either don't exist anymore or they stop trying to keep up with the youngsters."
Yeah.
So that was, he got sued for Billy Cobham's Crosswind song. I'm not familiar with that song.
Nope.
Wow. How the fuck did they even find it?
I know. That's the crazy thing. It's like,
their cool nephew.
Yeah.
Uncle Billy, have you heard this?
Yeah.
isn't this you? Did you get paid?
Yeah.
You should sue.
I feel like there should just be a sample jury that should just like
just see thumbs up or thumbs sideways. Down.
Yeah. Like I don't feel like it needs to go through an entire legal process. It just needs like a board of people who understand music and understand copyright law and can just be like thumbs up that you cannot sue over this, or thumbs down. All right. This person is like,
this using. Track is great. This track is whack.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. it seems crazy. Like the people who win are just like, it's the smallest sample of this just completely unknown band or something like that.
Fucking Flo and Eddie, man.
I know.
Bittersweet Symphony.
And at the same time, you have like really big stars just being like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. George Clinton does not give a shit.
No.
Sample him forever. Fucking Tina Weymouth. Like specifically, I was working on record cleaning, like little YouTube clip.
Yeah.
And like I got hit with another copyright, but like directly under it. And it was for that Tom Tom Club record I found. Mm-hmm. Directly under it, like it just said, cleared. Like, because they don't care. They don't care. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, copyright, cool. But I don't give a shit. Go.
Yeah.
Wash that record, Rob. So it hit the Billboard
121.
Okay, what was the Hot 100 though? Like, what did it end up doing on the rap charts?
On the rap charts?
Yes, the Rip Rap Rivety charts.
U.S. R&B hip hop albums peak position number 19.
Yeah, that's real good.
Yeah,
cool.
The Guru has an unorthodox poetic rhyme style combined with an offbeat delivery and a distinctive yet mellow voice that punctuates his style. At times, his rhymes are a bit hard to digest, but the smooth tracks make things turn out lovely. So I think that's kind of what I was getting at. It has a distinct sort of style.
And it is lovely.
It is lovely. This is a fucking fantastic record.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Is everybody on the positive?
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also listen to the rest of their catalog. It's incredible.
Totally.
Someday.
we'll get there.
We might throw it up on the Patreon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
It's worth a second look.
We could do that.
Yeah. Make it my homework so I can hear it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Next time we'll be talking about MC Solaar. KSM Levent Rock Le Tempo. So just listen, I'm like a neurosurgeon, operating with a pure aversion. I write prescriptions of words that fit in. The dope gets prescribed as I kick it live. Cause it's more than a style, it's conceptual genius. My effect on the scene is to project that I mean this. You deadbeat, wait until you see my next feat. I get respect for the rep when I speak, check the technique. Check the technique.